Good morning and a very warm welcome to this online service from Olney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond and I am one of the elders at the church. In this service of worship and praise, we are continuing our readings in the Old Testament. In fact, this morning we are in the very last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. The Bible verse for the week is from 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9, and reads like this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I'll read that again as it's a small verse. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's pray together. Our great and mighty Lord, we come to worship and praise you, for you are the sovereign Lord who reigns over all the earth, and your authority stretches from shore to shore. Although you are great in all your ways, we come to you with confidence, for we are your people, and we know that you love us and know our hearts. We ask that you would give us receptive minds to your word, and that the Holy Spirit would teach us more about yourself. We pray that our worship will be sincere and that you would encourage us to love you more. We do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we come to our first hymn this morning. It's hymn number 953 and it's titled O God Beyond All Praising. This is a hymn of praise, and it's a hymn of praise for God's mercy and God's blessings. Thank you. The reading this morning, as I said before, is from Malachi, easy to find. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And Fiona is going to be reading for us this morning. And it's chapters 3 and chapters 4 of Malachi.
The reading is taken from Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud labourers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, said the Lord Almighty. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honoured his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day when the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction.
Thank you, Fiona. We now come to our prayers of intercession, and Mike Byram is going to lead us in prayers of intercession this morning. So let's all pray together.
Father God, thank you that we can come into your presence this morning, knowing that you are Almighty God and a loving and merciful Father. Thank you that we can draw near to you because of the work of your dear Son, who gave his life for us so that we may have eternal life and be able to approach you with confidence, knowing that you will hear our prayers. Father, we are so often self-centered, sinful and foolish in our ways. Please forgive us and grant us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us amend our lives according to your word. We pray for the families in this church and in our community, particularly those with younger children, that you would help and guide them as they live in these difficult times with so many distractions available to them. Help parents as they seek to make right choices for their families. Help children and young people as they seek to catch up on their schooling after the effects of COVID. We pray for our local community. Grant that we as individuals and as a church, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, may serve the spiritual needs of local people and spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus. We pray for the recently elected councillors in Olney, that they may act in the interests of this community and make wise decisions. We pray for local businesses as they seek to adapt and to survive the effects of the COVID pandemic. Help them through these difficult times. We pray for the elders and deacons of this church and for the leaders of churches throughout this nation and beyond, that they would truly seek to please you and glorify you as they shepherd their people. We thank you for what the leadership of this church has given over the past couple of years by ministering to our spiritual and practical needs as a church fellowship and helping to keep the church going in challenging times. We thank you for our newly appointed minister, Stuart MacDonald. Bless his future ministry to us. We ask that the Holy Spirit would enable him to effectively serve this church and community, and help us as we seek to wholeheartedly support him in his work. We also thank you for the ways we as a church have been able to keep in contact with each other during the COVID pandemic over the last 15 months. We pray for the wider church and the millions of Christians who are persecuted and discriminated against in various parts of the world. We ask that you would protect your church and influence leaders of all nations to uphold freedom of religion and belief. Father, we pray for unity within this church and all churches. Help us as we seek to love you, love each other in Christian love, and to faithfully spread good news of your Son. We pray for missionaries and all who proclaim the gospel near and far, and ask that doors would be opened to receive the message. Bless their work as they share the word of life. Enable them to speak with boldness and clarity. We pray for our nation and ask you to bless our Queen and all in authority under her. Guard and strengthen her. Thank you for her strong sense of duty and her Christian faith. We ask that you would grant wisdom and understanding to our Prime Minister and his government, and to leaders of the opposition and all members of Parliament. Guide our government as they lead our nation in difficult times. we pray that Christians in positions of leadership would be able to influence decision-making in this country. We pray for all we know in the church and in our families who are currently sick or unwell, and for those living with long-term medical conditions. We ask that you would give them strength, comfort, and patience as they cope with their challenging circumstances, and we also ask for healing. Thank you, Father, for the progress that has been made in this country in controlling the spread of the coronavirus, and particularly the successful rollout of the vaccination program. Thank you for the work of the government, the NHS, and caregivers, especially those doctors, nurses, and care workers who have been providing direct medical and care support to many thousands of sick and vulnerable people. And we remember those who have lost their lives as a result of caring for others. We pray for other nations where the pandemic is still raging and killing hundreds and thousands of people. We pray particularly for India at this time as the coronavirus continues to ravage that country. We pray that our government and other G7 governments would deliver on their promises to send 1 billion vaccination doses to poorer nations and so help with the ultimate defeat of the coronavirus. We pray for all who have suffered the loss of loved ones and those who have experienced loneliness over the past year during the pandemic. Comfort and help them, we pray. Father, you are the creator and the preserver of all mankind. We thank you for the awesome beauty, power, and grandeur of the universe you have created. Help us to do what we can to preserve it. And we ask that world leaders would do what they can to prevent the destruction of natural habitats and living creatures that are so important for the health of the planet. Teach us all to use the fruits of the earth to your glory and for the good of all mankind. Thank you, Father, that you listen to and hear our prayers. Thank you for your constant care and peace. In all these things, we ask for your will to be done, because you know what is best. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 131, God Has Spoken to His People. And this hymn reminds us that God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. And the book of Malachi is an example of that, as the prophet speaks on behalf of God. As this tune is not very familiar, the musicians will play through the verse before we sing, or before they sing. So music only to start, and then join in if you can. The hymn, God Has Spoken to His People. So we come to the message this morning, which is from Malachi. If you have your Bible near you, please turn to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. The title for this morning's message is The Unknown Man Who Could See. The book of Malachi is God's word through a prophet who has no name. All we know about him is that he lives in Jerusalem. He is not identified in any other way. Malachi means my messenger. So the first verse of chapter 1 could read, "The word of the Lord to Israel through my messenger." The prophet has the responsibility of speaking on behalf of God to a nation in a poor spiritual state. But also, the book speaks of future events as well. Time is about 450 years before Jesus. It is after the Babylonian exile. The temple has been rebuilt. And although the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem has started, the job is not finished. What then did the unknown prophet see? He sees the priests in chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. The priests do not honor or respect God and show contempt for his name. They sacrifice blind, crippled, and diseased animals on the altar. The priests continue with their rituals and with their services, but there is no love for God. They are ungodly. They would look splendid in their robes as they swish through the streets, but God is not displeased with them. And in chapter 2, verse 8, we read the priest's teachings cause many people to stumble. The prophet also sees the people and their sins. In chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, men are divorcing their wives and marrying foreign women. Also in verse 17 of the same chapter, the people weary God with their words. They say, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord," and also say, "Where is the God of justice?" Furthermore, in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we read the people have turned away from God and are withholding tithes and offerings from him. Spiritually, the priests and the people are far from God and his laws. I'm sure you can see the similarities of our present day with those recorded in this book. In chapter 1, verse 10, God says, Oh, that someone would shut the temple doors so that useless fires would not be lit on my altar. Surely God today would say the same to some churches in this country. He would say, close the doors, for you do not preach the gospel. You have ritual and you have tradition, but the truth of my word is not proclaimed. This unknown prophet in Malachi sees future events. In chapter 3, verse 1, he sees John the Baptist, referred to as my messenger. Sorry, I'll say that again. He sees John the Baptist in chapter 3, verse 1, referred to as my messenger who will prepare the way. He also sees Jesus the Messiah in verse 1, the messenger of the covenant. He also sees the ministry of Jesus in verses 2 and 3. Jesus who brought healing to the sick, the blind, the lame, and to lepers. Jesus who brought God's word and spoke with God's authority, who brought salvation to the world and hope for the present and hope for the future. The prophet also sees the judgment of God in verse 5. But you may ask, why does God have to judge? I thought God was always loving. Well, God, he is always loving. In fact, in verse 6, we're reminded that I, the Lord, do not change. God is always loving. His love never fails. But because God is holy and righteous and hates sin, and because he is a just God, he must punish sin. Let me give you an example. People who break the law in this country need to be punished. I'm sure you will agree with that. So those who murder, steal, lie, and commit other offences need to be punished by the law. The general public would be outraged if criminals were not punished, because justice has not been served. God also must judge sinners because they have broken God's laws, disobeyed and ignored him, and rejected his son who died for them. The prophet of Malachi also sees God's mercy in verse 7, for the Lord says to the people, return to me, and I will return to you. Test me, the Lord says in verse 10 and 11, and I will bless you. But there is also a remnant of believers in verse 16. They fear God, they still honour God, and they still trust him. The Lord listened and heard them, for we know the Lord sees and hears everything. Nothing is hidden from him. The last thing the Malachi prophet sees is the second coming of Jesus in verses 17 and 18 and verses 1 to 3 of chapter 4. On that day when Jesus returns, the Lord says, the righteous will be my treasured possession. The Lord also says, you will see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. The arrogant and evildoers will come under judgment, verse 1. But for those who believe, who belong to God, the Sun of Righteousness will rise. That is a reference to God's glory. And more than that, you will be so full of joy. That's what it's referring to, that the believers on that day will be so full of joy, they will leap around like calves released from the stall. Now, if you're a believer and you're not walking very well at the moment, that is something to really look forward to, isn't it? Besides seeing the glory of God, that you will be able to leap around for joy because God is calling you home. In this book of Malachi, there is warning and encouragement. The warning is, do not live like the people or priests in this book, for they were disobedient and unholy, and God was displeased with them. Also in verse 5, in the last chapter, it speaks of Elijah. The reference is to John the Baptist, whose message to the people of Israel was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If you are not a believer, you need to repent of your sins, for Jesus died for you. And if you belong to him, you will escape the judgment to come. With the close of this last book in the Old Testament, there is silence. Four hundred years of silence. God does not speak through any other prophets during that period of time. But turn over with me to your next pages. So we go from Malachi, we turn over the pages, and what do we see on the first page of Matthew? The birth of Jesus Christ. And if you turn over another page, in chapter 3 of Matthew, we read, John the Baptist prepares the way. Both Jesus the Messiah and John the Baptist were promised in Malachi, which we've just been looking at. And here they both are, as God has planned and promised. The encouragement for us who believe is we have a God who plans and promises and delivers on his promises. He is faithful to his word and faithful to his people. Hallelujah for that. So let us be faithful to him, to ask for his help, that we may be faithful and serve him all our days. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your greatness, and we thank you that you are a God who plans and promises. But also, Father, we thank you that you are a God who fulfills your promises. And we look to the day when we who belong to Jesus will be called home. And Father, we will see your greatness and your righteousness and your holiness in all its glory. Help us to be faithful to you, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we come to our last hymn this morning, 314, Joy to the World. This is unusual that we're singing this, as we normally sing this at Christmas time. But we have been reminded Jesus came into the world. We've just read that in Matthew chapter 1. And so we can certainly sing all together. We can all sing joy to the world because Jesus has come into the world as Redeemer and as Saviour. Joy to the world. So before we have the closing prayer, I'd just like to thank Fiona for reading this morning, for Mike for praying this morning, and for Jonathan and Catherine for playing for us and for singing for us. Thank you to you all. So we close with a couple of verses from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.